Well, if you're taking notes, the title is Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah is three books before the book of Psalms. So if you're not sure where that little book is, that's where it is. Well, Nehemiah was the man of God that God used to lead the Israelites in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem so that the city would be protected. You know, a city without walls had no protection, and this needed to be fixed. And Nehemiah was the man that God chose to do this. And so Nehemiah, he goes to Jerusalem, he rallies the people together, and they begin building the wall. It's quite a task. You know, it seems like an impossible task when they begin. And when they begin working, but as they're working, they have enemies that come and taunt them and make fun of them and ridicule their work that they're doing. They say, even if a little fox crawls across that wall's going to crumble down. You're doing just sorry work. So this, they hear this day after day, that just this criticism of doing what God has called them to do, working on this wall. And, you know, they just kept going. They had a mind to work. They just kept going no matter what other people said. And it got to the wall was about halfway done. And I tell you, their enemies got really mad now because they see that they're prospering. They don't want them to prosper. And so what they do is they get together and they make plans. They're going to attack Jerusalem and create confusion in order to stop the work. So here we are, Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 13. It says, therefore I is Nehemiah here. So therefore Nehemiah positioned men. Now listen, they've heard that there's attack. They're going to try to attack them. And God's given them the instructions through Nehemiah. And this is the instructions that Nehemiah has given them. So he says, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. And I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, the leaders, and the rest of the people. Now here is what he is going to admonish the people. And this is what he said, tell the people what they need to do in this battle that they are facing. Now could God just have rained down and just, whoosh, enemies are gone? But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to have his people, they were going to have to fight. They were supposed to get their weapons together, ready to fight. So this is what he tells the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that, and that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his works. You see, God knew what was happening. He wasn't taken by surprise. See, they were going to try to defeat this group of Israelites who were building these walls, but God was on their side. And he defeated their purpose, and they went ahead and they finished that wall. I tell you, when God is on your side, you cannot fail. It says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one can. Nehemiah rejected that fear. And I'm going to challenge you, reject fear when it comes against you, when scary circumstances come against your life. You need to reject that fear. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I tell you, you can have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It says in, what's that, Nehemiah 4:14, don't be afraid of the enemy. That's what he's telling you. I'm telling you tonight. Do not be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. See, Nehemiah was telling the people how to fight their battle, and that was by remembering the Lord. I tell you what, whatever you're trying to do for God, whether you're trying to be a good parent, maybe you're trying to be a good spouse, maybe you're trying to be a good Christian representing him at work and doing the right thing, standing up for what is right. Or maybe you're just simply just trying to obey all the laws of the Scripture, trying to obey what God tells you to do to the best of your ability. Anything you're trying to do for God, you've got an enemy that's going to say all kinds of things against you that are not true to try to hinder you, to get you to thinking wrong. The enemy will bring thoughts to your mind's like, it's too late. You're no good. Your faith's not going to work this time. It's just impossible. He'll also bring thoughts to your minds like this. These types of thoughts are thoughts that hinder your prayers. He'll try to get you to thinking thoughts of judgment and critical things of others. Try to get you into a judgmental and critical spirit. He'll try to get you to be offended at what someone has said or done to you or someone that you love. He will try to get you to think thoughts where you exalt yourself and think yourself better than other people. Prideful thoughts. These kind of thoughts, they hinder your prayers. They're poison to your spirit. What we need to remember is that wrong thoughts lead to sin. Wrong thoughts lead to defeat. In our thoughts, we need to remember the Lord. We need to remember the Lord in our thoughts. Never underestimate the power of a thought. You know, it says in Psalms 10, verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. None. The wicked, they don't think about the Lord. You know, to me, that just reeks of pride and arrogance. It doesn't, it just reeks of that. But let me ask you, at the end of your day, I want to challenge you to ask yourself, did I think about the Lord today? Did I remember him in any of my thoughts this day? Or did I only think of him when I needed something? That's not a very good friend, is it? They only come to you if they need or think about you if they're in need of something. But you know what? The Word of God tells us how to be victorious in the battles and the things that come against us, and that is to remember the Lord. We need to learn to remember him all throughout the day. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, 18, real easy, so simple. How can you remember the Lord all through your day? You do that by rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So simple. How can you remember the Lord throughout your day? How can you make him a part of your day where you walk through your day remembering the Lord in all that you do and all that you say? You do that by rejoicing. Find something to rejoice about. So there's nothing to rejoice about. This is an awful day. Let me tell you what you can always rejoice about. You can rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you not? If you're a Christian, you are going to heaven. And this place right now, as bad as it might be, is whoosh. It's gone, and you're in eternity forever compared to then. You're going to a wonderful place, and God is preparing a home, a place for you. You can rejoice in that. There's always something to rejoice about. So rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That's just talking to the Lord all through your day. Just speaking to him all through your day. And in everything, give thanks. Don't allow good things to pass by, good things to happen through your day without thanking the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord. You know, I went all the way down Wilshire. Green light, everyone. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Don't just toss that aside. Thank the Lord for the little things. Be mindful of that. Have you ever heard the phrase, look at the bright side of things? Heard that? Well, you know, that's a nice little phrase, but it's really powerless, and there's no power behind it. You know, as Christians, you know how we look on the bright side of things? We look at life through the lens of God's Word. We look at life by remembering what God has said about what we're facing right then. Let's say you have a difficult task in front of you. How can I look through God's Word, through the lens of God's Word, that's going to help me? What do I need to remember? What do I need to remember? Well, I remember Psalm 121, 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, when I prepare getting a message ready, that helps me more than any verse, that my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When I stand before you, this is not me. I don't like to stand up in front of people and talk. But my help comes from the Lord. He is the one. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and you can't get better help than that. So when you're facing a difficult task, whether if you're a student, you have a test, or you're at work, and you've got a new position or whatever, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's looking through the lens of God's Word. That's looking on the bright side of things the right way. What if you're lonely? Well, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What if something bad happens to you? Well, the Word says God works all things out for the good of those who love him. See, if you love the Lord, he'll work all those things out for your good. That's looking through the lens of God's Word. What if somebody treats you bad? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You see, when you look through the lens of God's Word, when you remember the Lord in your thoughts and your day and the things that you go through, it brings great joy to your life, does it not? It brings joy in the hard times. So don't forget the Lord. Oh, how quickly we can forget him. Let me ask you, do you have a friend that life is just better when they're around? Where you just enjoy your day more and you laugh when you're with them? They make you into a better person, or maybe you're just encouraged to always be your best when you're around this individual. Well, being with the Lord is way better than that. It truly is. In fact, everyone and everything else that you might do pales in comparison. You say, well, maybe you like to do things like this. Maybe you like to go to the golf course, or you like to go out on a lake, or maybe you like to hike in the mountains or lay out on the beach, or whatever sounds. Some of y'all, I know, I can't understand this. Like to go mudding. Ooh, mud all over you. I can't stand. But you know, everybody has different things they really like to do, and those things are great and good. But you know how to make them the very best, the most awesome thing is when you do it with the Lord. Do it with the Lord, and there's just a joy there you just can't imagine if you've never done it. It just brings a spark to everything when you do life with God. You know, some people have the mistaken thoughts that, you know, if God ever did anything really miraculous in my life, like he did back in the Bible days, those big miracles, then I would never forget him. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that is simply not true. That is just not true. Beside the fact that Jesus came and he laid down his life for you, the price that he paid, if he never did anything else, that is the most miraculous, awesome, wonderful thing that could be done for us, because now we are the children of the living God. But I'm talking about some other things, though. People think, you know, well, let's take the Israelites. You know, the Israelites did so many stupid things, but, you know, they're just so much like us. Because we do stupid things. And we think, oh, I won't do that. But let's look at here. We do this. The Israelites, what had God done for them? Had done for them? They're no longer slaves. They had been delivered from Egypt. They had seen mighty signs and wonders. Just awesome things happening. Here they were. They're free. They're rejoicing and they're happy. But it's not very long. The very first obstacle they come up against. They're up against the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is coming. And they forgot who their God was. In Exodus verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Can't you just hear them cry? Oh God, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than for that we should die in the wilderness. You see, they truly did have a life-threatening problem coming up against them. There's no way they could have defeated that army. They were in just to be annihilated, just in the natural. I mean, that was true. But instead of turning to God, their ultimate provider, instead of turning to him in prayer and humility, they complained against him and his leaders. In verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. See, the people, they didn't understand. Why did God do all this and now here he's going to kill us all? They had no concept. They did not understand who truly their God was. But Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Remember that phrase, hold your peace. I tell you, when all seems lost, you need to be careful to hold your peace. And don't say anything against the Lord. Don't say anything against the Lord. I was reading in my journal, and back in January of this year, in fact, it was January the 17th, this is what I wrote, and I want to read it to you. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me through the great battle against cancer and giving me victory. This is a time to rejoice. Another battle has come, my heart and my foot. I choose to hold my peace and not say anything against you. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I trust you, Father, completely with my life. Those are the words that I wrote that morning because, y'all, I was so very thankful. You know, I really believe I'm finally done with that battle of cancer after so many years. I really believe it's gone. Oh, hey, rejoice. I'm so happy. But, you know, it wasn't just a few weeks after that I started having heart issues. Never had heart issues before. It was real scary. I mean, it was like, it's kind of painful, and it was, I could sometimes try to lay down to sleep, and it's doing this weird beating thing, you know, and it's scary, you know. It's, what am I going to do? You know, the thoughts that come against you. And then on top of that, here's my foot, my left foot. You know, I like to run, but I couldn't hardly walk. Every step hurt. Every single step hurt, and it was getting worse and worse. Nothing I could do. So here I'm going to a cardiologist, I'm going to a podiatrist and try to work through these problems. And Lord, you know, I just finished this. Why do I have to face now heart issues and this problem with my foot? You know, I'm kind of thinking that in my mind. You know, I'm just, you know how it can be difficult, can't it? But God wasn't surprised. He wasn't taken surprised by those problems. You know, I'm not going to go into all the details, but today my heart is almost completely normal. My foot, no pain in my foot. It's doing great. Thank God, you know. But God took care of it. But this is the point I want to make. When you're facing difficulties, you need to keep your heart right toward God and always stay on God's side and not blame Him for what you are facing. See, the Israelites were quick to doubt God and blame Him for any kind of adversity they came against. But see, adversity should draw us closer to the Lord and challenge us to stand up in faith and believe and trust God no matter what. So what are we supposed to remember about our God? Well, it says in Nehemiah 4:14, that verse says, "Remember the Lord who is great and glorious." We need to remember that our God is great. That He is glorious. We need to remember who our God is. We need to remind ourselves of these things. Remind ourselves. There's so much we can remind ourselves about how great and glorious our God is. There's an endless supply. You can think, remind yourself of all the great things that God has already done through His Word and in your life and the lives of people, miracles that you know about. You can remind yourself about all the promises that God has for us in His Word and how He has a great future. Heaven is our home. Amen. Praise God. But we need to, when we're facing a battle and you start to get down, you start to get discouraged, you've got to remind yourself, who is this God that I serve? Who is He? We need to remind ourselves that He loves us. I think that's one of the most important things to start out with. He loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us. He sent His Son to die. He loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. When God's on our side, we can't fail. You need to stir yourself up, remind yourself when those discouraging thoughts come, my God loves me. You need to remind yourself that He is a God who is full of compassion. He didn't like you to hurt. He is a God of great mercy. Aren't you glad? I need mercy. It says in Psalm 103:11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. Mercy. Oh, we need mercy when we mess up, and He provides a way out. Amen. Did you mess up any this week? I did, and I'm so glad for the mercy of God. You know, and He forgives. He really, really forgives. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That's far. That means it's gone. He forgives. He won't bring it back up to you. Whoop, remember what you did? No, He forgives. We have trouble forgetting it, but God forgives completely. And when you're facing a battle, we need to remember and stir ourselves up that He directs my steps. He'll guide. I love this verse in Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of a godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Isn't that just awesome that God cares about the details of your life? Awesome. He's awesome. He'll guide you. We need to remind ourselves so that we'll be ready to fight. Our God is perfect and flawless. Our God, He is so faithful. He's faithful. We need to remind ourselves that He is our healer. I remind myself when the pains come or this or that comes, He is my healer. You know, if not for him, I had one doctor tell me, just look me right in the face, you shouldn't be alive. You should be dead. But God, he is my healer. And our God, he is so patient and kind and long-suffering in his dealing with us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he's not harsh and mean?
Yes.
Don't be harsh and mean to people. God's not. He sure could be. But he's not. He's patient, kind, long-suffering. In him, we need to remind ourselves it's him where we can find our peace and joy in the middle of our storm. I'll tell you, God is great and awesome, isn't he? He is glorious God. The word says that no man can see his face and live. That's how glorious and awesome he is. Moses asked the Lord, he said he wanted to see the Lord's face. But the Lord told Moses, this Moses, who is God's friend, this he said to him, you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So he's just awesome. Our flesh can't handle that right now, the true magnificence and glory of our Father. So don't be afraid when you face a battle. Remember who your God is. You know, compared to our God, we are like little children. Did you know that God calls us his little children? It says so in John 13:33 that he calls us his little children. You know, there's so many things that little children are just not capable of understanding. You know, they might ask you a question and you have an answer that you could give them, but you know very well they're not going to understand what you just said. They'll just go way over their head. They're not capable of understanding. And I'm telling you, there are so many things in this life that you are just simply not capable of understanding. Pride doesn't like that, does it? But there simply is not. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:4, now he here is Paul, Apostle Paul, was caught up into paradise, and he heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. We just can't. I mean, God is revealing to us what we can handle right now. But you need to know, whenever you read and study the Word of God, that there are going to be things you don't understand and there are going to be things that don't make sense. Have you ever been reading the Bible and just reading along, you know, oh, this is so good, you're reading along, and all of a sudden, here comes a phrase or a verse that just doesn't make any sense? It happens to me a lot. I think, why? Why did he just say that? Or maybe the verb tense is weird. You think, no, it should be a different. That shouldn't be past tense. It should be present tense right there or whatever. But I remember, what do you do when you come against something like that? You just keep going. Just put it aside for right now and just keep going and understand what you can for the time. I remember being a teenager and reading the Word of God, and there was this one story. I'm going to read it. Matthew 9:2. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. I remember reading that. What? That's not right. He should be saying, son, be of good cheer. Rise and walk. I mean, then I thought, yeah, that makes more sense. Why did he have to say this verse? Your sins. It made no sense to my teenage mind. I didn't have enough understanding of the word. I hadn't read it enough to realize it. But see, now in present day, this is one of my favorite passages when believing God for healing. Because there's so much truth in it. But as a teenager, when I read it the first few times, I didn't have the knowledge. I was not able to understand it. So instead of reading the word and say, oh, well, there's a mistake here in the Word of God. See, it's not the infallible Word. No, you just don't know. It's just far above you. You just haven't got there yet. But it's important. If you don't understand, what's important is to stay on God's side. Don't judge God. Don't judge God. Because compared to him, we're just little children. You know, Job, he had some things happen to him that he did not understand. He said in Job 13:15, this is what Job said. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Amen. Can you say that? Even when you don't understand why something is happening, will you trust him? Or is your love conditional? Will you only love the Lord and follow him if he does everything you want him to do or life goes right? Oh, we need to be able to say as Job did. Even though we don't understand, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You know, I find that I struggle when I forget to remember who my God is. I struggle when I get my eyes on the wrong things. But you know, it can be so hard when you're in a fierce battle. I've been in a fierce battle in some things and broke down crying several times. But I find that when I was doing that, I was looking at the battle and not looking at the Lord. And when I get my eyes on the Lord and remind myself who He was, then I could rise above it and be in a place of faith. You know, the disciples were facing a battle. It's in Matthew 8, 23. I want to read it. Now when he, Jesus, got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Have you ever felt that way, like in verse 25? Lord, save us, we're perishing. Have you ever been that way? Oh, Lord, you got to help me right now. I just can't stand it. You got to do a miracle right now. Right now, God, I can't stand it right now. You ever been there? We've all been there. But Jesus' response said to the disciples' fear, and his response to you is, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? You know, when you read that, the words kind of seem kind of harsh. They're upset. They're desperate. They think they're going to die. And he says, oh, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? But he's telling them, don't be afraid. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and use your faith. Now, Lord slapped me on the side of the head. Stop feeling sorry for yourself this week. Use your faith. It can be hard, though, sometimes when you're feeling sorry for yourself to get out of it. Fear and a lack of faith are the result of looking at the storm instead of looking at Jesus. So when your storm is raging, don't be afraid of that enemy. Don't be afraid of those circumstances. You need to do what Jesus did. This is what he did. He arose. I mean, he was asleep. They should have taken care of him and let him sleep. But he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But he rose. He fought. That's how he fought, and that's how we're supposed to. When something's not right, we need to get up and rebuke that thing and stand up against it in faith. It says in Luke 10:18, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What does that mean? This cherub, Satan was the anointed worship leader in heaven, but he rebelled against God, and he was cast out. So he is a defeated foe. So who is our enemy? A defeated foe. We need to look at him that he is the defeated foe. He has a loud mouth, but he is a defeated foe. Verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I tell you, when you remember the Lord, you're ready to fight. You need to stand up against him and resist all those things that come against you. You need to remember the Lord and keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, he's such a great example. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, author and perfecter of our faith, who for, and look at this phrase, the joy set before him. The joy set before him. This is what he's remembering. This is what is in his thoughts while he endured the cross, scorning and shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, Jesus kept his eyes on the right thing in the hardest battle of his life by remembering why he was going to the cross. It was a joy because he knew what it was going to accomplish for you and for me. He knew that joy that it was going to bring. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep our eyes on the right thing and not get them on the wrong things in life. This is my last verse, Psalm 42, verse 5. It's a good one. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are we so upset? I need to tell you something. Why am I so upset? Why? Hope in God. That's what you do. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See, when we look at his countenance, when we remember him, when we look on him, we are encouraged and we are strengthened. You see, when the enemy comes against you like it did against Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was building that wall and facing opposition, he chose to remember the Lord. And what do? They strapped on their weapons and they just kept moving forward and building that wall. And they did it day after day and they did it in record time in just 52 days. Awesome. And we need to do that. We need to strap on our sword. What is our sword? Our sword is the word of God in our hearts and in our mouths. We need to strap on our sword. When we're facing that opposition, we're walking through a trial, we keep the word of God in our hearts and in our mouths. Oh, what a great way to live. You know, Jesus rebuked those wind and the waves, and what happened? Instantly it was calm. Instant miracles are great, aren't they? But what about the Apostle Paul? He was on a boat. And man, there was a storm. Oh, I call it, there's a special name for that storm because it was so bad. And an angel appeared to him, telling Paul, it's okay, you're going to live, and I'm going to grant you the lives of all the people on this ship. But the storm didn't just stop. It raged for days, and it looked like they were going to die, and it was hard. Day after day on this boat, they didn't eat, and finally the boat just came to pieces, and they all had to swim to shore. But he won. Victory! Victory, the miracle came. They shouldn't have lived through that, but they did. The miracle came. I tell you what, when the enemy comes, let me ask you, what are you going to remember about your God? When sickness hits your life, are you going to remember Jehovah Rapha, your healer? When you need direction and guidance and you simply do not know what to do, are you going to remember Jehovah Rohi? He is your good shepherd, that your shepherd will lead and guide you through whatever you're facing. And remember, he cares about all those details. If you're covered in shame and guilt because you have blown it, whatever it is, you need to remember Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, that he provided a way you can repent and you can be righteous and clean and pure in his sight again as if you never did it. Do you feel lonely? You need to remember Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present one. He's always with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Do you have financial need? You need to remember Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He will provide. He's not going to just drop money out of heaven, but he'll give you an idea. He'll show you what to do. He'll lead you the right way, and you'll come out ahead if you'll trust him. Are you facing any kind of adversity or opposition? You need to remember Jehovah Nissi. He is our battle fighter. He fights with us. We can't lose. So remember our God. He is great and he is glorious. Amen.